right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as we head up until IU game day in their biggest game of the pre-conference schedule at Duke tonight, 9:15 on ESPN as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Duke, of course, defending national champions, but lost a lot of players off of that team. Certainly, three or four players into the draft last year, but always bring in a new crop of freshmen, high-ranked freshmen, and so it'll be a heck of a challenge for the Hoosiers, who beat Alcorn State the other night and did so rather easily, extremely easily, in fact, as you would have expected, 112-70. And a good shooting night for the Hoosiers, a career high shooting and scoring for James Blackman Jr., and generally what you at least partially would have hoped and expected out of the Hoosiers coming back from Maui, which is that is to blow the doors off a outmatched opponent on your home court. So not a lot necessarily to take from that game, but we're going to try to do something. I know it's only Alcorn State, Glass, but is there anything you see out of that other than simply taking care of business and not messing around that you take care of, that you take from the Alcorn State game heading into this road trip?
Yeah, you're scared to death because Alcorn State scored, got a ton of offensive rebounds, forced some turnovers. Yeah, it's not going to fix itself in one practice, a week of practices, or maybe even a couple weeks of practice or game situations, because putting new stripes on the Tiger isn't—it just doesn't work that way. In Indiana, in the first half, what they give up 14 offensive rebounds? It was something ridiculous.
15 total.
They had Alcorn State almost had a 50% offensive rebound on their miss, which doesn't happen. Alcorn State, a season high 34 points in the first half. They were 0-5 going into that game. They scored almost on a point of possession, which was their second best output of the year. So some of the things that have bothered Indiana, again, bothered them against Alcorn State. But when you shoot 60 whatever percent and you make whatever percent from the 3-point line and only have 4 second half turnovers, you should win comfortably. And that's what Indiana did. But a couple of weird stats jumped at you. Even in the first half, Dave, it was 15-0 when we were on the air talking about that. Mm-hmm. Alcorn State outscored them 28-27 over the next 12 minutes. That's a fact. I mean, if you don't like it, don't get mad at me for bringing it up. Now, did Indiana close the half really well to have a 19-point lead? They did. But there are still some things that are going to bother you a little bit. Did some guys play well? Yeah, but Indiana always plays well against opposition like this, Dave. There's not many times we sit there and say, geez, can't believe you let Bryant back in. It doesn't happen because why? They got too many good players. They got too many good basketball players to do that. But when you're talking about Wake Forest and you're talking about UNLV and you're talking about St. John's, those were the teams in Maui, Dave. After late-night film sessions, late-night practices, extra this, extra that, you just never saw it fire. But all that goes out the window tonight because you don't play the game in the past, and it's good that Indiana is putting that wall up and saying, Maui's done, we're moving forward, and there's nobody that's going to get your attention more than Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's 120 non-conference victories in a row. It's 112 in a row over ranked opponents. Indiana does not fall into that category, but they've only played – they don't play a lot of ranked teams in that stretch.
The point is they haven't lost much at home in many years.
And the crowd gets into it, and Duke Vitale is going to be doing the game. So you're going to have a very hostile environment. Maui wasn't a hostile environment, and they still struggled to get in front of the ball. They still struggled to play with that effort and hardness that they need to do. If the pilot light isn't lit for Duke, Mike Krzyzewski, national champions, Cameron Indoor Stadium, when is it going to be lit? I think that's a fair question.
Everybody's asking this question, and that is, if you and you more or less just asked it, I think, and that is, if this team can't get up in the easier environments and for their easier opponents to play the kind of toughness or with the kind of toughness that you want, which amounts to hitting the boards and playing some defense and that sort of thing, if they can't do that, then what makes us think they're going to go into the hardest environments that they're going to face? And this is the first one of the year. Certainly, there's going to be a couple more down the road in the Big Ten. There's no question about that. The only thing I would say to that is I got a weird feeling. Not that they're going to win this game. They're not going to win down at Duke. If they do, I mean, it'd be unbelievable. But this team to me, these guys in particular to me, strike me as the kind of people that are going to pay a lot more attention, as you said, to the 7th-ranked team or 5th-ranked team or whoever the heck it is and going on the road in a tough environment. Again, I don't know if they're going to play defense tonight. I just think they're going to react better to it tonight because they care more about it tonight. Most nights they don't look like they care about it enough on those toughness factors.
That's not a sign of a good team, is it?
I'm not arguing that it is. Yeah. I'm just saying that's what I see out of this team. I think they'd react better to the tougher situations. I don't think they're going to win.
You know what? Maybe I set the bar too high. Maybe I'm a neurotic fan that thinks that basketball should be played hard all the time, and that when you wear Indiana on the front of your jersey and you play for this great fan base and you play for this great university, that you should get after it all the time, and it shouldn't have to take something like a nationally ranked opponent to get you fired up. Maybe that's a me problem, and I'm more than willing to accept that and look in the mirror and see,
anything wrong with that.
See if there is my problem. Well, and the other thing is, if Indiana doesn't play hard and get after it at Duke,
that is the problem.
That's not acceptable,
right,
and that shouldn't even be talked
about. If they get the doors blown off down there, that's a huge problem.
This isn't game seven of a new program. This isn't game seven of, you had a clean out house because you had a big NCAA scandal, and you've just put together some guys from the Hyper. This is Indiana basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The phrase I have that's bouncing around in my head, and I talked to you about this after the show on Monday, is you get the feeling now that acceptable losses are okay with Indiana basketball. Who started that? Who's come up with that? It's okay. No, it's not okay. If you strive to be average and you don't mind that your team's mediocre or average, yeah, good for you. But people that have been around Indiana basketball as fans over the years, over the different coaching changes there have been, playing hard isn't a – yeah, that's what you do in Division I major college athletics. You play hard. And you shouldn't go down to Duke thinking, geez, I hope you don't get beat by 20 tonight. If that's your first thought, well, that's a problem.
Well, of course it is.
That's a huge problem.
Well, of course.
If you're wondering if this team is going to react or not, that should drive you crazy as a fan. Indiana has capable players. You've seen it enough times over the last couple of years that when it goes well, it can go really well.
Do you wonder if they're going to react?
What's been the problem? The problem has been consistently doing it.
Do you wonder if they're going to react tonight?
No, I don't. They're going to react tonight. Yeah. I will not listen to any press conference questions.
There's no other acceptable answer.
There's not. And you know what? And it's not acceptable to me if they lose tonight. And if you say, well, Duke's a top 10 program, beat them. Go on the road and beat somebody. Well, you want to tell me? Call up and tell me how great Alcorn State was the other night. they won by 52 points, 42 points. What more do you want?
They were athletic.
Tell me about it.
They did some things we're not used
go
to
beat
seeing.
A team.
They moved the ball really well.
Here's the problem. The problem is, and these are facts, and if you don't like the facts, again, this is probably not a program for you. Without Cody Zeller, Victor Oladipo, Christian Watford, and Jordan Halls, this team is never that year. They won four road games against top 25 teams. They have never won another road game against a top 25 team. Whether you like that or not, that's a fact.
Yeah, I don't know the stat. I
don't have any dog in the fight of lying about something like that. But that's the point. The point is, acceptable losses don't register in my world. And if they register in your world, tell us about it. 333-2665. If losing to Duke tonight is okay for you, I want to hear about it because it, as a basketball fan, shouldn't you have a plan to win every game? Shouldn't you have an angle that you can say, hey, if we do this, this, and this, you should win? If Indiana doesn't have enough talent, well, that's a problem. If Indiana doesn't have enough wherewithal to get in a game, that's a problem. If Indiana doesn't compete on the biggest stages in made-for-television events, is that what you want from your program? Look, the opportunity is directly in front of them tonight. They have been handed. You heard the kids talk about it, even after the Alcorn State game.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we come here, to play games like this.
That's right.
Hey, you've got the opportunity.
You're the underdog.
Yeah, perfect. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Nobody expects a thing out of you.
Which is sad. Because because that's how it should be.
Well, and they earned that. I mean, let's be fair about that. They have earned that.
That is a fair point because they have earned it. You're exactly right. And they've earned it because their play.
Yeah.
And the only way that you wipe that doubt out and wipe off acceptable losses out, and wipe off whether you're going to play hard
or not.
That's
change your play.
Is to change what you're doing and to put results on the court.
Change the results. Yeah,
if
exactly
Duke
right.
hits, if Duke comes down and hits a three at the buzzer to beat you over a double team in the corner, you've done your job. You've gotten beat. There's a difference. If Duke comes out and it's 24-2,
right
at the second time out,
right,
I'm going to ask some questions.
Yeah, you should.
And I
no
think
question.
That's fair.
No question.
It's the folks that think, well, if this is how it's going to be, well, that's going. You should support your team, but your expectation shouldn't be acceptable losses. That's not mine.
333-2665 is our phone number. We've got to take a quick break. More IU basketball, who tips off tonight at 9:15 from Cameron Indoor Stadium on ESPN as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They tip off a little later tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the on-court stuff when we get back from the break. Again, 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU basketball, they tip off at Duke tonight, 9:15, as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And that's on the ESPN. Of course, Hoosiers coming off a victory over Alcorn State at home, as you would expect. Their first true road game of the year. There's been some obviously very interesting matchups with Duke over the years, in particular 2002, that IU run with Jared Jeffries and Jared Newton and Jeffrey Newton and Tom Coverdale, and of course A.J. Moye's block of the number one seed in the, I believe it was a Sweet 16 at that point, because I still had to play Kent State.
That's right. Regional final.
So that was about as good as it gets. So it's kind of fun reliving that. Not much fun reliving anything to do with the 92 Final Four. So we'll just kind of skipping that all together down here in
Teddy Valentine.
Bloomington. Yeah. And 6,000 fouls called. Look, question for you. Outside of some of the Big East teams that have gotten into the ACC, there's Syracuse,
Louisville,
you know, there's a couple of those teams,
Boston College,
that are more defensive oriented. Does the style that we're playing under Tom Crean fit more into the traditional ACC schools?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you watch a game last night between Maryland and
North
Carolina?
That's exactly where I was going. Back and forth, up and down.
Guys can play, and we'll get to this in a minute, but Kentucky gave you a nice little blueprint how to beat Duke when they beat him in Chicago earlier in the year. And
can we do that, though?
Well, I'm going to point out some reasons why we can and maybe some why we can't, so that'll be interesting as well. But I don't think it's the style of play anymore. I think you have to adapt, whether it's you're playing Alcorn State or you're playing Duke. You got to figure out who's the guy in front of you. And if you don't stop him, you're going to have to play perfect offense. And yeah, who can ask that of any team, especially in a hostile environment? You can't. So you have to do other things to stay in the ball game, rebound, stay out of foul trouble, don't turn the ball over, things like that. It's not a tough formula. It's execution. It's always about execution. And that's been Indiana's problem. We've heard it from the head coach in press conference. Hey, we do it great in practice. We don't do it in the game. Hey, we told them to do this. They didn't do it. Well, at some point, you got to do it. Or you're going to be an average team. You're going to be good. You're going to have 20, 21 wins, just like last year. Maybe mm-hmm. win a tournament game, lose a tournament game. But again, is that the ceiling for Indiana basketball right now? They're going to show you tonight is going to be a preview of where they are in getting to the next step. Is it going to be, well, if we played Alcorn State every night, we'd be good, but anytime we play Wake, St. John's, UNLV, it's going to be a dogfight. Now, if they have a dogfight with Duke tonight, I think there won't be anybody that will be surprised by that, because you would think a team of this stature, this team of this history, a team of this talent should be in a dogfight on the road with Duke tonight. And they should be in a dogfight with every team they play every night.
Well, they got to be in it. There's no question about it. But as to how to do it, and you meant we got a phone call here.
So absolutely. We got Jay with us. Jay, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. Good evening. How are you guys
doing?
Good.
Doing well.
I tell you, I've only been able to watch a few of the games on television. But I see the same mistakes over and over again defensively, and that is the basic fundamentals of playing defense are just not there. Instead of lunging and sidestepping to defend the guy and get in front of him, we're doing a lot of turning and chasing after the guy. And especially I saw it in the Alcorn State game, and why they didn't do this play more often, when they would do an overload set where they would send four guys to one side and have a single man to the other side. And he would dribble drive, man-to-man defense, they would get layups very simplistically, and almost every team is able to do this. So I think, you know, and Coach Crean, don't get me wrong, I know he knows how to coach fundamentals and knows how to coach defense, but the key thing that I see as a major flaw in our defensive scheme right now is when we are in man-to-man defense, our kids, for whatever reason, are being taught to run and chase the guy instead of sidestep and get your body in front of them. And if you got the foul, you get the foul, but at least you're not giving up an easy basket.
The rotation needs help. The off-the-ball defense needs help.
There's so many things that you can – I filmed two of them the other night and put them out on Twitter just because I found, you know, 2 6-second clips, that kind of thing, where what I see more than anything to me is a lack of paying attention all the time.
Right.
I mean, here's somebody who his guy, he's in front of, he sidesteps, he does everything you're talking about, he holds him outside the three-point line, guy gets rid of the ball. 3 seconds later, the guy has lost his man completely, and instead of being in the same spot, he's still standing there on defense. The guy's on the baseline on the far side behind him. Now he's looking around trying to find the guy.
It's
a lack of commitment to the entire play. It's a commitment to the guy in front of you a little bit when he's got the ball. But then the commitment stops,
right,
and they fall asleep, and then something happens, and they're out of position. I saw one play where we had three guys blocking out each other on a rebound.
Well, it's just like you're talking about,
help
side defense. I would understand that being an issue if this was an extremely young basketball team, and in certain positions it is. But it's also not useful for, .350, your starters are not of use. Bryant, I can understand him having mental lapses here and there with being a freshman,
sure,
but outside of him, you've got guys who should
play 35 games.
Yeah,
playing
sure.
Yeah. So that's what's concerning for me is, look, we obviously know they can score points. That's not a question right now. The biggest question is with teams such as Duke, which has just as much talent, if not more talent, than Indiana.
More.
It's very concerning that we cannot play defense for an entire basketball game or for even entire set.
The million-dollar question, and I've asked this question before and I'm going to ask it again because I don't think there is a clear-cut answer, and I think that's what makes it captivating. If your offense is as good as Indiana's is, do you spend 80% of your time trying to teach these guys defense, or do you spend 80% of your time refining the offense? Because when you're on, there's a handful of teams only in America that can stay with you.
Do you get better at offense?
Do you perfect your offense and hope to be adequate at defense? And I don't want to make the football example here, but we're getting close.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting close.
Absolutely. And what we see in the NBA and what kids want to play in is the NBA. We see NBA teams starting to go small ball. Pacers are doing it. Golden State just won a title.
They all defend, though. That's the problem.
Well, yes, they have to defend at least a little bit. But they're trying to get to 120 points.
The NBA has no limits on how long they can practice, run film, do anything else.
Right.
Indiana has 20 hours a week. So if they're going to commit 14 of it, 16 of it to offense, their best offense is
doing. You only have 20 hours a week when school is in session. When school is not in session, they have limitless practice. So that really shouldn't be an excuse.
Well, the kids can use their swipe cards to work on their defensive positioning too, but they don't.
The entire week of Thanksgiving, he could have practiced for 70 hours, and nobody could.
Well, they were traveling. Let's be fair about that. I mean,
I understand that, but Christmas
three
break,
games in
no
a row.
Limitations.
I understand.
There's no.
But I think you've just solved the problem. I think you've just given us the answer. It's not going to get any better until it gets better. And how does it get better? I don't know. Is it going to be those 50 hours over Christmas? Well, last year they had defensive problems. They were historically as bad as you could be, according to Ken Pom, who's been keeping numbers since 2002, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were historically bad defensively. So if we're waiting to this Christmas to address those problems, or the problems are being addressed and it's not getting through, and you can't go to Duke and bench, let's see, who are the main culprits according to everybody? James Blackman can't defend anybody.
Correct. Yogi's a lousy leader.
Thomas Bryant is not, doesn't
Troy,
get it yet.
Troy Williams doesn't pay
Max
attention.
Max Biefeld's not sure.
There's your top five.
You're going to bench him and put who in the game? So
I
think that's another flaw. I think that's another. I got two quick things, because I know you guys got to go. I think flaw number one is Crean's got the depth and the size and the kids on this team who played enough basketball. He should have his starting five, and he should know what it is by this point in the season. No argument from me on that one right now.
But that's the problem. Their starting five in the last three of the last four games has lost to Wake Forest, barely beaten St. John's, and lost to UNLV.
You've got to let them play through it.
That's one way to do it.
You're going to play eight or nine guys. I mean, they're all going to play.
The other thing that you have to do is, I just lost my train of thought.
Here, I'll help you out with it.
If you want to look at a team that was scoring a ton of points, and he absolutely completely changed his way of doing things, and that was Bo Ryan at Wisconsin. If you remember, about 2 years ago, they went from boring Bo ball to scoring 90 points a game, and then they lost a couple games, and then he went back to his old ways of ball control, scoring 50, 60 points a game, and he's going to beat you with with defense and make you hit shots. And I think that's what you're going to have to – you're either going to have
the only
to
problem with that. The only problem with that is
– we've got offensive guys.
Is Tom Crean recruiting defensive players? Yeah. He wants to tell you that OG is going to step into that role and Robert Johnson's going to do that. But, again, that's two guys on your reserve side or your sixth man that does that. The other four guys you've brought in to play offense, and their offense is really, really good. That's the thing people lose in this. Jay, good job as always. Happy holidays. Yeah,
we appreciate talking to you.
Everybody – you're not going to have a perfectly balanced team. The good Bo Ryan teams the last 2 years didn't guard anybody. Heck, they 92-78 was a score when we played them up there.
No, they shot every time they saw them.
How'd they beat Kentucky? They didn't beat Kentucky 42-40. They beat them, what was it, 80-2-80 or something like
that? They scored a lot of points the last 2 years.
You have to score at this level. And Tom Crean's offenses usually don't have a problem getting the ball in the basket. But you don't have an excellently balanced team to the layer. You're not going to get that in this day and age unless you have unlimited Kentucky where your ninth guy is a McDonald's All-American, 6'11", it comes off the bench.
Right.
Great. Good for you. Not if you have those pieces.
Teams have that kind of size.
And we're going to see one tonight. Yeah. Duke has it. It's Mike Krzyzewski's third tallest team ever, and he hasn't been doing this for 5 or 10 years.
And it wasn't very tall last year. I mean, it wasn't.
Well, Jahlil Okafor was awfully tall.
Jahlil
played a lot of And Justice Winslow was only 6'7", but he could fly and guard people, and yeah, so that's the deal. If you're going to be elite, that is the word, that is the angle. If you want to be in that conversation, you have to do both things well. You don't see many elite teams that just are a one-trick pony.
Sure.
And right now, until Indiana shows you any different, they give up a lot of points, and they got to score more than the other guy. So you have to put it at the focus has to be, in my opinion, the defense has to get better. But the offense has to remain that good.
Well, and let's keep in mind.
It's not easy. It ain't.
One of the big things that if you want to completely legitimate complaint also about IU basketball, don't give away possessions. If your offense is that good, giving away possessions costs you points. That's the way it works.
And defensive and offensive rebounds against don't help things either. And taking bad shots plays right into the other team's hands.
And at the very least, on the offensive side, you can argue that you're good at that side. Maybe you should take care of the ball.
And they have to guard you every possession as well. So there, it's not dire. But to get in, here's the thing: to get into the elite level, you want to be good. That's not me. You want to be elite? That's what you should be.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Let's get into the fun stuff about how we're going to beat Duke tonight.
Let me do some programming notes here quick because we've got a few.
I'm fired up. I'm all on the coffee.
One for
today.
Us, by the way, there so I want to do that here soon, too. Tomorrow night, we've got NFL football, 8 o'clock, Packers at Lions. Packers are falling apart at the seams.
And Lions are playing too poorly.
Lions
so
have gone the
game.
Other direction all of a sudden, so that'll be interesting up there. On Friday, we kick off or tip off our high school basketball coverage with South at Bedford North Lawrence. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock.
Seventh season. Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Is Joe even 67 years old?
No, he's not.
I didn't think he'd be doing those.
When he was two, he was doing some games.
Tip-off, at 7:30. On Saturday, we've got a pair of championship games in college football, Florida and Alabama, and that is 3:30 here for a pregame for that. And the Big Ten championship in the evening with pregame at 7:30. And then the Colts are on Sunday night football, so we will have them at 7:30 pregame with Bob Lamy and kickoff just after 8:30 when they are in Pittsburgh. As far as our note, we've got a fun Monday planned, as we'll normally have our 2 hour or hour and 45 minute show on Monday, but joining us will be my dad, Joe Novak, former defensive coordinator at Indiana, head coach at Northern Illinois.
Know something about going bowling.
He does. He knows something about defense, so he'll tell you why he's glad he's not a defensive coordinator anymore with these offenses.
But
the other interesting part is he has taken a position recently that is very interesting to a lot of people, and he's enjoying it. I'm anxious to talk to him about it. He is on the Committee for Infractions with the NCAA. He is one of the people that gets or will get to hear the final pleas and arguments, if you will.
My first question for him is going to be, which is tougher, being on the committee that studies the playoff teams and the coaches' poll or the infractions poll?
Because it's going to be interesting.
You can't watch every game.
No, but it's interesting to hear him go through the initial parts of the kind of the training of this and what he's going to have to do. And he's not on the investigative board. He's on the committee for infractions. They hear all of the – they're basically the grand jury, if you will.
That's right.
And so he'll talk a little bit about the process. He can't tell us just how close they are to getting Kentucky on probation and get Calipari kicked out and blackballed from the sport yet. He can't talk about that.
Remember, folks, he's cheating so obviously that he's only been at Kentucky how many years
exactly
now?
Exactly right. But we can't talk about that. We'll talk process on Monday. Monday night, 6 o'clock.
But
back to basketball.
Speaking of Kentucky, they gave us the roadmap of how to beat Duke.
Which starts with a lot of number one draft picks.
It does. And you know what? Indiana has some talented players, too. And I'm going to start off. I'm just going through what we saw when they won. Kentucky beating Duke in Chicago at the United Center, the made-for-TV, whatever. I don't care what the event was called. They had Michigan State and Kansas in the second game, and Kentucky and Duke, 74-63. Mm-hmm. So Kentucky not exactly known for lockdown defense, but plays pretty good defense.
It's certainly good inside.
But
I'm
going to read
shots.
You what the Associated Press has written, because I think this is a roadmap, if you will, Dave. And I want you to think how this goes with how Indiana goes. Tyler Ulis scampered up and down the court. Jamal Murray muscled his way to the basket. Marcus Lee and Alex Poitras finished with authority. Ulis had 18 points, 6 assists, no turnovers for the Kentucky point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And Kentucky used its speed and athleticism to pull away from number 5 Duke. We're going to be trouble in a fast-paced game like this, Ulis said. Whoever gets the rebound, they just get out, push on the break, and are very unselfish with the ball. Who does that sound like when things are going in a good direction?
Well, we can do that at our best.
Okay. Kentucky scored 17 points off of 16 Duke turnovers and enjoyed an 18-4 advantage in fast break points. Again, these aren't ridiculous type numbers. Did you hear me mention that Kentucky shot 78% from three-point line and had plus 25 in the free throw category?
No, three for 10. 11 of 18 on free throws.
No, that's terrible.
Rebounds were even.
Again, even.
The good there is 15 assists to 9 turnovers, 16 turnovers for Duke. But I think you're right on the one part, and that is it's in the backcourt that Kentucky showed their advantage.
And slashers.
And the one oddity there is Grayson Allen. For Duke, who had setting it on fire all year long, except for that game. That's the one game he has not had a monster game. I mean, a monster game. He had 6 points in that game. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
2 for 11.
The question is, can we call, you know, is the Grayson Allen situation, which is tied to their one loss, is that part of the issue too? And do we have to tie him into that and stop him somehow as part of that? They did a pretty good job. He missed some shots, but they did a pretty good job at that.
Don't stop him. Slow him down. You know what you can't let him do? I don't want to sit here tomorrow morning with Joe and say, how did Grayson Allen get open and hit 10 of 15 three-pointers?
Right.
That's the stuff that upsets, not even upsets when you're talking about Kentucky at the time, but it'll be an upset because Indiana's unranked and haven't played very good basketball against good teams yet. You're not asking Grayson Allen to be shut out. You're asking him not to go off and destroy you. I'd rather have Miles Plumlee shooting 10-footers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not 2-footers. You got to be on the
Miles.
Miles
had a great early game.
Or Marshall. I'm sorry, not Miles.
Whatever.
Plumlee.
The Plumlee
there's 16
guy.
Of them. They've the been there forever.
Yeah, exactly. He had a great first half against Kentucky. Great.
Here's what Allen said after his 2 of 11 performance. We've compared. Now we contrast. It's a very athletic, physical team. Okay, I can see that. That's good. Mm-hmm. Their bigs were a lot taller than teams we've played so far. Indiana has some decent size,
They caused him problems in the lane. They blocked some shots on him, but both of them fouled out.
Now,
both are starters.
This is what I want you to
Kentucky
hear.
Did.
They did a great job of rotating over, said Allen. The guards did a great job at pressuring the ball. They played a great team defensive game
today.
We'll
pressure the ball. Again, I have seen on-ball defense that at times has not been absurd. I stress at times because there's times, like Jay pointed out, where it has been absurd. There's no question about that. It's the rotations. It's anything that involves pick and roll, or it's anything that involves rotations on defense that scares the hell out of
me. And if you're not familiar with Kentucky, Tyler Ulis, a 5'9" Chicago native.
Played 40 minutes.
He's not the 6'5" Jason Kidd.
No,
point guard.
No, he's small.
He's a water bug.
Sounds like somebody we know.
And when Duke isn't hitting shots from Grayson Allen, and they're not getting garbage putbacks from Jefferson and Plumlee, then you got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores that probably are going to have to beat you. So my trade, and Allen's just a sophomore. Matt Jones is a junior. You know Matt Jones can shoot it if you watched the Final Four last year.
Sure.
So these are guys that if Matt Jones has to make eight threes, I'd rather have him with a hand in his face doing it than Grayson Allen busting you all over the court. I'd rather have Plumlee forced into bad shots. But if they're going to get a ton of offensive rebounds and putbacks, and Grayson Allen's going to make jumpers, mm-hmm. and they're going to overpass to Matt Jones open in the corner to knock down threes, Indiana's going to have a tough night. What do you take away from Duke if you're Indiana to have your best chance? I think Kentucky showed you the recipe. Make Allen out of the game.
Yeah.
Make Jefferson, who's not a great shooter, he's good around the basket. Plumlee, same thing, good around the basket. So if you rebound defensively, keep guys in front of you,
right.
and don't let Allen go nuts, I don't see any reason why with Indiana's offense
right.
that they can be in this game.
Well, 333-2665 is a phone number. Look, when this team hits the boards, and it has had those times, it certainly did a pretty good job of that last year despite its size, it's going to keep itself into games. Two things I ask you questions on. If you're trying to take Grayson Allen out of the game, this team is showing that they want their big, Thomas Bryant in particular, and certainly you've seen this with the other bigs, with Max Bielfeld. They end up having them follow their guys out onto the floor, meaning the middle of the lane does not have their big man process.
Jefferson and Plumlee won't give you
that problem. Well, let's hope so, because
we want
Bryant in the middle, but the question becomes, man on, who's on Grayson Allen? Because Troy Williams is not a lockdown defender.
Good.
He can block some shots and cause some problems.
The easiest part is you rotate guys on him to keep guys fresh, because number one, you don't want one of your players who's really good offensively to be dead.
You know who Tom Crean's going to put on him, don't you?
Yeah, he's going to put everybody
on him. He's going to put Yogi on him.
He's going to put Yogi to start. He should.
He is. I mean,
because Grayson Allen, then somebody else has to run their offense and handle the ball.
Well, and that's the other side
then
of
you put,
it.
Then you put Robert Johnson on him for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Then you put Troy on him for a little bit. And you just keep rotating guys through.
Put some bigs on him.
And
here's,
you know what?
But here's the other side of the question.
If Brandon Ingram, 6'9" forward, is going to hit six threes on you, you're going to get beat.
One of the other guys is up and down. No question. Here's the other side of the question. You mentioned Tyler Ulis. Certainly. Looks similar in a lot of things to Yogi Ferrell, no question about it. The one thing is they seem to put the ball in Tyler Ulis's hands an awful lot more than we have been putting the ball in Yogi's hands. Now, that's not that Yogi can't handle the ball. We all know he can. His assists are phenomenal right now. He's sharing the ball like crazy. He seems to be less selfish with his shooting, which I'd rather he be more selfish sometimes with this particular team. But are we not giving Yogi control of the offense with the ball in his hands enough this year, or am I just being stupid about it? Because it seems to me like we're trying to get everybody else involved in bringing the ball up,
yes.
and initiating the offense, all those sorts of things, and that would be counterintuitive to what you're talking about using the Tyler Ulis effect against Duke tonight.
But remember, just bringing the ball across half court, Indiana
isn't much, sir.
No,
I get that.
When Indiana is very difficult to guard, they move the ball and everybody touches it. It's not a Yogi one man show.
Right.
When Yogi gets the ball, he's difficult to guard. When he's on the move, he's difficult on catch and shoot. You always have to pay attention to him. And when he's off the ball, he works hard as well. And when he doesn't have to handle it every time across, he's going to play 39 minutes.
Right.
Again,
yeah,
if absolutely. You're asking him to guard Allen, if you're asking him to handle it every time, you got to get him a break a little bit. And the way Indiana gets guys a break is moving through their motion offense. It's not called a motion offense. I know they move the ball when they run the weave. When they move, good things usually happen. And what other good things? Get to the foul line. Drag them away.
And that's the thing they haven't done.
Now, it'll be interesting lineups with Plumlee and Jefferson. I know Jefferson's shooting 90% from the field because he scores from 5 feet in every time he gets it. Sure, he can. Everybody at this level should be able to knock down a 15-footer. That's not the point. The point is you can't let those guys mop up on the glass, both ends, offensively and defensively. You can't let those guys mop up on the glass. And if you're going to keep the Cameron crazies in the game by turning it over and letting them get run out dunks and everything else,
you're not going to beat
anybody on the road doing that stuff. So you got to take care of the basketball. Everybody does. Make the extra pass. It's a tough environment. Everybody knows Dick Vitale is going to be there. Everybody knows it's going to be on TV. That's the thing. That's the next step for this team is together you achieve more.
Mm-hmm.
Not by yourself. Not putting your head down because you're on
Just
ESPN.
Just because you're on national television.
That's exactly
with
right.
V. Don't go one-on-one all night long.
If Troy Williams scores 40 tonight and Indiana loses by 20.
Nobody cares.
This nobody cares.
That's fair. 333-2665 is the phone number. Got to take another quick break, and we'll give you our last thoughts on IU at Duke, tipping off at 9:15. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. And again, we have NFL football tomorrow night with the Packers at Lions, 8 o'clock pregame. Friday night, South at BNL, boys basketball rather. Chalk Talk 7 o'clock, tip-off 7:30. A pair of championship games on Saturday, 3:30 pregame for Florida and Alabama, and 7:30 pregame for Michigan State and Iowa. And then the Colts are in Pittsburgh Sunday night, 7:30 pregame with Bob Lamy, and 8:30 kickoff for that. And again, for us on Monday night, we'll again be on the air for the two-hour program, and joining us will be my dad, Joe Novak, a former defensive coordinator at IU and Northern Illinois head coach, but also now member of the Committee of Infractions at NCAA. So we got a lot of football to talk and some how the NCAA works with this Committee on Infractions, which I think will be fun and interesting for folks to hear.
And a story that's been making news all afternoon, if you've been following along in San Bernardino, it looks like the 3-2-1, however many people killed 14, injured 17 other in a shooting earlier today. It looks like police have their vehicle. It is full of bullet holes and missing windows. There are three armored police vehicles seeing what's going on there. It looks like they have that situation under control, another American tragedy that we almost talk about on a weekly basis
it's
now.
It's getting more
but
frequent.
But if you were following that story, it is they went from having no idea of where they were, what's going on, to
surrounded and
under control. Yeah. So the LA Times is reporting that federal law enforcement officers say they believe one man angrily left the meeting where everybody was, returned with one or two others, and started shooting. There'll be more details, sadly, to follow on this. It's mass murder, folks. It's almost becoming the order of the week, and it's a cruel, strange, frustrating, mad world we live in, and we try to give you a couple hours a week where we don't have to talk about that. We're going to talk some hoops tonight with Duke and IU before letting you go at the top of the hour.
333-2665 is the phone number, so the segue over to the biggest game of the year for Indiana basketball at Cameron Indoor Stadium, 9:15 on ESPN, part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge at Duke for these Hoosiers coming off the victory over Alcorn State in a glorified scrimmage. So what does it all mean? What can they do tonight? Ultimately, you know, it's you mentioned it. I mean, I don't think you'll have much problem getting anybody's attention to play hard tonight. So the question is, you know, do they play with in themselves, do they play smart? And that's always been the question with this group of players the last couple of years. Do they play smart? Do they share the ball? Do they play as a team? And they've struggled to do that this year. When they have on the offensive end, and it has looked as good as you can possibly imagine.
The interesting thing, what they've learned is their way might not work.
Hopefully they learned it.
If you didn't learn it against Wake Forest and you had to practice till after midnight, right, turn around for a 9 o'clock game against St. John's, and then you won that game in, I don't want to say convincing fashion because I don't think that's accurate, and then you came back and played a Las Vegas team, and then you had a film session after that. Well, it's good that they're trying. And, again, people with this program have more expectations. When you tout the recruits you bring in, mm-hmm, as McDonald's All-Americans, as high scorers, as
well,
this.
Well, they are. We
yes,
don't have to tout them that
that's
way,
what
they are.
That's what they are, and it's time to play. And this is the level. This is why Indiana basketball is so popular with fans and alumni coast to coast, because in games like this, your team should be competitive. Your team should have an excellent chance of winning, even though it's on the road at a place where a team never loses. Well, Eastern Washington won at Indiana University,
yeah,
breaking a 43-game home winning streak. The Hoosiers have to play smart. They have to play fast, but not out of control. There is a difference. Kentucky sounded like they gave Duke some problems getting up and down the floor.
Yep.
How do you get up and down the floor, Dave? You don't get the ball on offense. You
right.
go get the
you
ball.
Get the rebounds.
And you go.
No
and question. You make smart decisions. And you get Duke's guys in foul trouble. Make them play a bunch of young
the
kids.
The one thing that scares me the most about
is
this.
Is Duke at
well,
home. Yeah,
it's
they
Duke.
Should.
Because, but here's why. The makeup of this Duke team, as you mentioned, is very large this
it is.
Year. It's very tall. It's very big. And it's got some veterans. And what we've got is we've got the one veteran in Max Bielfeld inside. But we don't. And when we've played teams that have had not three 6'9 guys that are either top-level talent or veterans that have been playing yeah. there forever, we've struggled with one big guy who's pretty good in a couple of the games we've played. And that was against, you know, one of the first games we played of the year, not Wake Forest and UNLV. That's what scares me, is that this team has not reacted well to teams with decent inside games. Not great, not huge, not lots of numbers like Duke has.
What do I
They're
tell
better
you?
At it.
Every show we do. Rebounding is not about how tall you are or how athletic you are.
I understand.
It's
I'm
about
just saying.
Want,
the teams that have better big guys have, exactly have beaten right. us up inside.
Hey, get in there. Take the fight to them. Let them know that you're involved. Let them know that they're not going to get every rebound. And the longer you keep the crowd around and they get frenzied up into a lather, it's going to be tougher. So
can they win this game without without making 15 threes?
Yes, they can because they can get to the foul line. They can move it for the extra pass. They can knock down shots. They can play smart. All that is on the cards. It's this whole part of this early season has been what? Execute, execute, execute. Mm-hmm. They are not going to pull any trick plays out tonight. They're not going to put any gimmick defenses in there.
Right.
You have to see the guy in front of you, do your best to keep him out of the way, and hopefully these extra practices and everything else, you've learned to help on rotations. You have to know if you're Duke, if Jefferson's standing in the corner, let him shoot.
Let him have it.
Don't let Matt Jones stand in the corner.
Don't let
Grayson out. If those things don't get recognized, you'll see it, obviously, and it's going to be a long night.
And maybe tonight you figure out who can go with his left hand like we didn't do the other night.
Absolutely. As Tom Crean told you, right? We're still waiting for a guy to get stop him going left. But they have an opportunity to, I don't want to say redeem, but I have to get some people that are upset that how Maui was to get them back in their corner.
A win down there would certainly some heads back the right direction.
The win will be earned. You're not going to fluke it at Duke.
No.
And every win, if they do win this game, should be lauded. It should be hyped. It should be overanalyzed in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go beat a team like that on their home court, and how many teams win at Cameron? Well, Miami goes down there and wins every once in a while. Virginia Tech sneaks in the back door.
Not many, but
you can do
a couple,
It's not. This is not the Harlem Globetrotters and Washington Generals, folks. Please do not make it out to be that way.
No.
Indiana basketball is not on that level. Preseason number 13.
Right. That's right.
If you're scoring at home, and Duke was preseason what?
It's,
five?
No question.
Four?
It's got the talent to be in this game.
Absolutely right. And should be.
Yes.
Should be
absolutely
in this game. All right.
Got to head out of here. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. Remember, we start our high school basketball off this weekend. Friday night, Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, tip-off 7:30, south at Bedford, North Lawrence. And Glass and I will be back with you on Monday, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.